Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in, Castle Wayne Spare Time Bowling Show on 105.7 FM. The Fan, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Right, all the way from the Spare Time Pro Shop in New Berlin. Looky who happened to find his way into the studio today. Phil Brile from Extra Frame, PBA's very own. Flo Bowling as well. Phil, nice that you can make it in.
Hey, it's good to be in studio. Home for one more day and off to Lubbock for the Lubbock Sports Open. So looking forward to that event. And first PBA event of mixed patterns for 2019. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun week.
So how's your wife dealing with all this? I mean, you're on the road more now than you've ever been.
Oh, yeah, it was fine.
Normally, you were at home doing high school tournaments and doing whatever, and now you're out and about and never home.
Well, I still had a chance to do a couple of them during the holidays, but now, like, my one bowling tournament a year, we had it scheduled. I bowled yesterday at Highland Lanes, and Dave Sherbarth, great host there once again. And, of course, she welcomed me home by kicking my backside on the lanes. So, I mean, she gave me...
Nice.
She read me the riot act out there, but it was a fun day. And, you just got to schedule things out a little bit more. And, 19 years of marriage and... a little time apart makes the heart grow fonder. So we've done pretty well with it. And, modern technology, Skype and all that makes it pretty easy.
Yeah, I can imagine. Dwight, he's with his wife 24/7, so we don't have this issue. Okay, so let's talk about what's going on in the bowling world. PBA Oklahoma Open obviously was last week, and we will talk about that momentarily. First, some programming notes. This week, I did remember to do what I was supposed to do to get Chris Barnes on the show. And then Chris Barnes advanced to today to bowl. So there is no Chris Barnes for week number two. At this point, I said, I think we're just good luck for you. And he left. But we will have Jeff Riggles on from 11thframe.com around 9:20-ish or somewhere in that area because we're never on time. So we'll get to him at some point, 11thframe.com. All right. So we're going to talk about today's, about the Oklahoma Open last week. I'm going to start off with a rant. Phil, I don't need you to expose anybody or anything. I'm not asking you to put anybody on the spot. Because I don't know who's to blame. You may not know who's to blame. I'm going to tell you this right now.
I think I know where he's
going
with this.
Whoever is telling Rob Stone to back off the ham bone thing and sound like a 65-year-old man and say four-bagger can shut the hell up at any point. Dude, I've about had my fill of this crap. It was weird and awkward like the first week, and I was like, well, he just hasn't been back here for a while. And then last week, I finally have had it. I'm sick of it. And I don't know if it's Randy Peterson doesn't like Hambone, and he's the one in his ear going, well, real bowlers say four-bagger night back in the 1980s when I bowled. Who gives a damn what they said when you bowled? He is the guy that brings entertainment to this sport. If I wanted boring play-by-play guy, there's a million of them I can find that can do all the boring bowling terms that you want to appease your old ass. I don't want it on my TV show. Plain and simple. I realize it's 9:04 in the morning, but I've had my fill of this. You brought him back to entertain. You did not bring him back to be another bowling guy. You brought him back and you had Hambone all over the lanes and everything else when he came back. You promoted the hell out of it, and now all of a sudden we're using four-bagger. Stop! Enough! Stupid!
Oh, you gave it in Swedish.
I don't care.
Going into the commercial, right? Yeah, but it's so stupid.
He said
stupid.
He was dying to say it.
Was the whole damn point of bringing him back was to get that back and the fun back. If he wants to come up with Little Piggy for five in a row, I don't care.
Little Piggy.
Let him call it what he wants to call it. Who cares?
It just seemed that there was a general uncomfortableness for both guys commentating this last show.
For some
reason, and I don't know why. I don't think there was any directives given. I don't think there was anything like that. It just seemed like there was a general uncomfortableness between the two guys. And I've worked with Randy on extra frame days, and it didn't sound like Randy either. Hmm. I don't know what the deal last week was. Both guys had a bad day. Somebody's barking in their ear the whole time.
Okay,
I have no idea.
I watched a different show then.
I found myself three or four different times during that show laughing out loud.
No, there were funny things in the show. I'm not saying there wasn't.
Right.
I'm just saying.
But why are they stifling him on on the Hambone?
Especially when they embraced it when he came back. They had Hambone all over the place when he came back. And now all of a sudden, he's saying four bagger.
Go ahead, Dwight.
It was something that happened in 2006, 2007, 2008. And maybe people are looking at it as that's old news already. That's an old style. But that's his call.
Right.
Correct. Uecker has his home run call. All these baseball guys have their calls. What's his name? The Packer guy. Larrivee, he's got his call. Right. Ted Davis has his call when a game is over, it's in the bank of drawing interest. All of these guys, all have signature calls. That's his call. And now he's saying four-bagger? Come on, man. Yeah. You can't have that. I mean, you can. Obviously, you're going to. But you take away the whole fun factor of it. Like I said, if he wants to make up some stupid term for five in a row, let him. If he wants to make up a term for picking up a tag pin, let him. Yeah. I don't care.
I thought your rant was going to be
hot.
And Phil, the I don't have rants like Sparky has rants, but I thought he was going to go with the lane breakdowns and why it takes so long for the mechanic to reset the pins. On live TV.
And we'll get to that. But conspiracy theory guy, right? So Jesper has all those issues having to sit there and wait to pick up his spare.
Yeah.
And then coincidentally, the same thing happens to Buttruff.
Right.
I was sitting here at home being conspiracy theory guy going, well, Jesper kind of got screwed here.
Right.
So now they're going to make him wait a little bit and do it manually. Because it didn't happen after that.
Yeah, I don't think it was. I think it was just because of how they cycle those pin setters. Because you can draw up what pins get set from the front desk. And if you saw right when they tried to get rid of the deadwood on Jesper's big four, you saw a gentleman get up and run offset.
Yes, I did.
That's Farrell Williams. He's the general manager of the bowling center. He went to the control counter to punch in the pins and get set. And then there was an issue with that as well. That's why when it finally got the Buttruff 7 pin, they just had the old school, the guy with the hook.
There was obviously a problem with it, but it just doesn't look good on live TV. You think there'd be a mechanic back there with a headset on or walkie-talkie or something. You know, just shut off the machine, set them up by hand, and get out of there. So it just didn't look very good on TV. But I've never seen Jesper so upset by it. I mean, that literally took him out of the match.
Well, you know, here you go. You throw your first shot. You know your opponent gets out there. Throws more surface.
Right.
You make that first guess. It's wrong. You're frustrated because now you've just thrown away a frame. You only have nine more to catch up. And you know how tough Buttruff's going to be. You don't expect him to bird box spares again like you did in the second frame. So,
and he did.
Yeah. And yes, for a little bit of hope with that one.
Right.
But yeah, you could just see the frustration right away with all of a sudden.
I don't think.
But it's part of the game nowadays.
Right.
I mean, no matter what, whether it's the lefties destroying their own pattern or the righties getting so deep during qualifying and match play for these guys in the other part of the tournament where the lefties got to go through the righties landing area and make those adjustments. It's a matter of pattern management nowadays.
I just haven't seen a pro lose as cool in a long time like Jesper did during that match. I said to Betty, my wife, when I was watching, I go, he is mad.
But I don't think it was that. I think he was mad that because Buttruff changed balls and ruined
his
shot,
pattern.
And then he couldn't figure out how to get it back.
And
that's what had him mad.
And I said out loud, well, welcome to the right side. That's what happens to the righties all the
no
time.
Doubt. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you see it all tournament long. And Doherty tried doing that to all the righties with what he did, because he did that in back in match play when he made his run. He had a pair of lanes he started on. He did the one ball urethane, one ball resin on each lane. And he totally wrecked that pair for everybody else the rest of the day.
Right.
So he got the position around EJ Tack and Nick Payne on that pair. They both shoot 180s. Doherty shoots 279, and the pair next door passes him for the TV show. So Doherty's going in with that. And he talked about it on Flow Bowling the day before. He's going in with that mindset of, I'm going to do something different in order to get my advantage to try to do something. And he tried, but he just made bad shots.
Stop. Stop. Listen, so Doherty gets up there in that first match.
Yeah.
And I tell my fiance, when he misses the 10 pin, I go, watch this dude completely flake out and throw a horrible first ball next frame. She's like, why? I said, because I know how this works. Watch. Sure enough, just yanks a horrible shot, leaves a split. I'm like, it's done. It's all done.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, how did you know that? I said, because I've watched him bowl forever. I know how he is.
Yeah.
And I bet you money, babe, that Rob Stone, who called his horrible last game, is in his brain, and he knows he's sitting over there, and he's thinking about it, and he can't handle it.
Right.
And sure enough, later in the show, he starts talking to Rob Stone about he leaves at 10:50. He's like, if I miss another one, you got to go.
Funniest bit I have heard in years.
It was. And I laughed, and Rob Stone was laughing, and it was good.
Oh, my God.
And
it was hilarious.
Right. And then at the end, him and Rob Stone, he says some more stuff about Rob Stone, about going back to soccer or whatever under his breath. Yeah. And I laughed, and I thought it was funny. That dynamic was cool, right?
Super
you don't
funny.
Get that with another play-by-play guy, whatever else. Right. Those two are obviously cool, it seems like.
Yeah.
That was fun. But the mental aspect of it, Phil, you just, I mean, you saw it. After he missed a 10, he put his head in his hands, and I'm thinking to myself, he's thinking about the last time he was on TV with Rob Stone sitting over there, and he's going to yank this bad boy. Watch.
He mentioned it the day before in Flow Bowling. He goes, I'm looking forward to getting some redemption with Rob Stone. He was thinking about that already the day before.
That's what I'm saying. Not good. But that's what comes with it, and people don't realize it. And this is in all sports, right?
The psychology
the mental
of the sport.
Aspect of everything. Yep. Baseball, basketball, football,
Dr.
bowling,
Dean
whatever. Yes.
Hold on, guys. Let me pull up my Infinity Cube over here. I'll get this started before
we got that coming up. We've got that coming up. Anybody else ever seen Dom Barrett open up that second match? He had three opens in a row. Had 32 after three. I'm trying to think. The last time I've seen Dom Barrett on TV open three times in a row, I'm not sure I've ever seen it.
Probably never. It's just he got fooled. He got absolutely fooled by... You saw his ball motion change at the end of the seven bagger.
Yes. Yep.
And he goes, okay, well, maybe if I just make this move, stay with the same ball. Well, that didn't work. So then he changes balls. Ball gets cleared through the front. But Dwight, you know when that happens, clearing through the front is more aggressive on the back.
Right.
A couple splits. And all of a sudden, okay, now I make the bigger move. And, you know, in an eight-game qualifying block, you can get away with a few shots like that. You can't get away with it on TV.
Peterson touched about it. That obviously with Tom throwing the urethane, that it could change the pattern and the shot for the next game. Right. Which exactly had happened.
Yeah.
I have never seen in social media so much talk, negative talk, from the high average bowlers out there about urethane destroying lane conditions, Phil, this last week.
They just need to be quiet because they're not bowling on the pro tour. Any of those keyboard jockeys, I kind of had a rant about that in Flow Bowling last week. These guys aren't out there throwing the ball. These guys don't know what these professional conditions are like. Oh, it's too easy. They're averaging 240. Get out of here, chew up, and throw it then. It's enough for these keyboard jockeys. These high average bowlers up only 10-1 ratio house shots.
Sure.
I can do that.
So let me get your
What's
opinion.
Stopping you?
Some guys say urethane should be banned. What's your feelings on it, Phil?
You should be able to use anything you want.
Use rubber. Who cares?
Yeah,
right.
I agree with Phil on this one. Listen, you can't, and if that's why four bagger is out there because of these idiots on Facebook or social media complaining about they don't like handbone and we're reacting to that, that's even worse than anything else I said earlier in the show. You cannot react to a bunch of bitter old dudes on Facebook complaining about it's not the 1970s anymore.
Right.
Just stop. Stop reacting to them. Stop reacting to the dude that's never bowled on anything, like you said, other than his house shot. Just do what you do and let the product speak for itself.
Yeah.
What they have to do is they've got to figure out how you can get the 20-something-year-olds to be the next generation of fans to watch this thing all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And these older dudes ain't going to be here forever. So how do you get the younger group to continue bowling and watching bowling? How do you get the high school kids to watch bowling and continue watching bowling? How do you get the college kids to still watch bowling? Yes, you've got a great deal going out in Portland, Maine.
Right.
Great. But what about the rest of the country?
Right. Yep.
That's what you have to worry about. Don't worry about the rest of these fools. It doesn't matter. And if you're one of those fools, too bad. I don't care about you.
I just don't.
Not if I'm Tom Clark, I don't. I've got to put the best product out there that I can.
When I made bowling with the champs, I just looked at it. I had to do whatever I had to do to win.
Right.
That's how I looked at it. And those guys are bowling for much bigger purses than a local bowling show. So I'm sure they're in the same attitude. I'm going to do whatever it takes to win.
They go out there. They'll spend another $45 to drill a ball up on the truck between rounds because they know that's the advantage they need next round to have a chance to get in the show. Where Joe Average bowler, I'm not buying another ball. The shot should be fine. It's a house shot. They'll just adjust
the oil. This is their living.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so moving on. I'm just going through my notes here, and you just hop in with whatever you got.
Sure.
The re-rack graphic under the names, we never talked about that last week because we did a real short segment last week on last week's show, but the re-rack graphic under the name, like it. Big fan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it a lot. I don't think Average Bowler knew how many re-racks you got or anything like that, so I like that graphic. Lenny Borsch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A couple cameos. He was on TV as much as the bowlers were.
Yeah, he was down there all week. Storm has changed up their ball reps to be more of the three tours, the women's tour, senior tour, men's tour. And so Jim Callahan's a head guy for the PBA tour. and they're rotating some ball reps in. I've heard a rumor that Kelly Kulick might be coming in to ball rep for a week or two in February for Storm as well. So
it's great.
You got the knowledge.
I agree.
And Lenny's got the knowledge. Yeah, he might be, you know, a great senior bowler. He might not be able to keep up with the kids, but he drills enough equipment. He sees everything. He knows ball motion. He's going to be able to help these guys out down there and, you know, he helped Yesterber get to the show.
Mm-hmm. Man, I was loving it.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that one
Castle
match.
Castle Lades Pro Shop guy from Kenosha sitting there on TV the whole time helping out Yesterber. That's pretty sweet. Yep.
And I remember that one match. He was lost, and he looked back at his tour rep, and Randy Peterson picked up on it and said Callahan just told him 2-2 lateral move right.
Right.
For Swenson, next shot right back into the pocket. Yeah. So those guys are absolutely invaluable to pros, especially in that one game match that goes by so fast, even the pros have to turn and look for help at times.
Yep, no question about it. As we continue to talk about the Oklahoma Open last week, still to come, we'll talk with Jeff Riggles of 11thframe.com coming up in a few minutes. All right, so let's get to the Yesterber match against Buttriff. So they were talking all about this on air, and I figured, well, this would be good to bring up to these two guys here on the show. So, all right, so talk about when they say, you know, the urethane ball more surface is, and Buttriff said it himself on TV. It wasn't like he was keeping it a secret of what he was trying to do. And obviously it worked against Yesterber. So explain to common Joe listening what the heck was going on.
Well, obviously when you're adding more surface, it's going to take more of the oil off of the lane. And it just took too long for Yesterber to adjust to that change, or maybe he was in his mind thought that it wasn't going to break down that fast, so he just had to make an adjustment.
And the reason he was like sanding it down, whatever else, was to pick up as much oil as he could going through, right?
Well, maybe just to get the look he was looking for.
To get the ball real. Now, if this is the great part, I love Fox and I love the strike track. And if you paid attention to Yesterber's ball all day long, where was Yesterber's ball hitting the break point? It wasn't outside of the pattern,
right?
It was in the pattern. It was still oil in that pattern when that ball would start to make its move back to the pocket.
Right.
That ball was easily moving a lot of times 37, 38 feet on a 42-foot pattern to make that move to the pocket. Buttriff takes that oil in the midsection of the lane away, and Yesterber, all of a sudden, his ball's breaking earlier, and he can't control it. All of a sudden, he has this huge blowout of drive from 38 to 42 feet. He's done. That's
and the
it.
Other thing that I noticed also, and they had the graphic on it, was how, for these guys, as much rev rate and much speed as they put in the ball, such pinpoint accuracy. Swenson and Buttriff did not miss their mark by a tenth of an inch. Yep. The ball was going over exactly the same spot, both spots on the lane that they showed the graphic, how accurate these guys are.
Yeah, you look at the shot where Swenson left the 6-8 in the fourth frame, or the fifth frame.
He'd absolutely label it
compared to the shot before. Right. But because it reads a little bit earlier, a little more oil's off
and
the lane.
And I think that's what upsets them so much is they feel in their mind they threw a great shot, which they did, and then it's not where it's supposed to be when it hits the pins.
Right. So Yesterber opens up with a 4-6-7-10, okay? And then they have the whole delay and all that stuff. And then Buttriff has his own delay on the 7-pin or whatever it was, misses the 7-pin, right? And now it's like, oh, no, here we go again. This is last week. So now here we go back to the mental mind games again. We talked about it with Doherty earlier, and I was like, okay, kid, how are we going to do this? He did it all right, man. He strung together a bunch of strikes after that, and there was no problems whatsoever until CubeGate happened. And the cube or the water bottle, which really is a bigger issue.
I thought of the water bottle right away.
Cube versus water bottle. I put it on my notes immediately. You know, which really is the bigger issue. It's funny because he's sitting there, he's playing with that cue. I'm like, boy, he is a nervous dude, right? He's playing with it, whatever.
Yep.
And then I didn't realize that he could hear it. But I guess if you have a Rubik's Cube, we have one at home. I started messing with it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess you can kind of hear it if you're in the same room. And it gets so quiet in a bowling center, I guess that would make sense that Yesterber could hear it.
Is there a PBA rule on distraction, Phil?
Probably not.
Not a direct rule, but if he asked, I'm sure Kirk von Kruger would have taken it into consideration.
Okay,
if Yesterber,
I didn't know if
said,
there was anything
he needs to knock that off.
Written, you know, that, I mean, you got to be respectful when your opponent's on the approach.
No, there's gamesmanship all the time in match play and stuff, but it's not to the point of, you know,
distraction
kind of thing. I mean, it's when a guy's coming off an approach or that type of thing. You take an extra re-rack.
You were there. Did you hear it?
I wasn't in Shawnee. I was on my way home.
You were on your way home already, right.
So, I had to watch the DVR. And no, I didn't hear it, but he didn't have it during the week either, during match play. He's usually in match play. He's usually walking around behind the approach and that kind of thing.
He walked off camera there.
Yeah.
And that's what he does that too.
Every other shot, he was backed by his tour reps.
Right.
And I think he knew that Jesper was mad at him or heard the comment.
Yeah, and he wasn't trying to go further.
Yeah.
Right.
Like other bowlers may have done.
So.
They were on TV. I'm not talking about you, Belmo. Okay, so... So it ends up, Jesper then gets a 6-8 split, later, picks it up. That was just awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. That was a great pickup at that point. Too little, too late though. Didn't really matter. Buttriff, wins. And then of course we have to ask him about his grandpa who died. And then he almost starts crying on TV. It was an Oprah moment. Yeah. But he pulled himself together and celebrated after. I thought it was a pretty good
show.
Yeah. I thought
all
it was a pretty
of
good
them
show.
Have just been great shows.
Yeah. I think they've done a real nice job.
But I have two questions for Phil. I've been dying all week to ask him. Number one, is it good to be a lefty right now on the tour?
You have to be a great lefty. You can be a good lefty. Look, ask Randall Page what he did in Shawnee last week after making the show. These guys are throwing the ball so well, and they have their hand in the right equipment at this moment that's why they've done well the first two events.
Yeah, a lot of lefties on TV.
Look at Belmo. Belmo just missed the show in Shawnee. He was sixth. He had 268, and if he wouldn't have gotten beat by Doherty, Belmo would have been the 5 seed.
Okay.
Now, match play.
My other question for you, Phil, I'm just noticing it myself. Are the international players better than the Americans right now?
I wouldn't say better, but it depends on the
winning
week.
More.
It depends on the week, but also you got to look at, you know, the number of guys that have won overseas and come over here. I mean, you look at Dom's, they showed the graphic on the show. 4 of Dom's titles of his 7 are overseas titles. He's only won 3 times in the States, but the guys are, you know, the U.S. guys go overseas to bowl, and the overseas guys comes here.
Well, number one seed the last 3 shows has been Buttriff.
Yeah.
From Arizona. Yep. Right? So he's Phil Brilo. He is Dwight Albrecht, Spare Time Pro Shop in New Berlin. Coming up next, we'll talk with Jeff Riggles of 11thFrame.com here on The Fan. Welcome back, Castle Lake Spare Time Bowling Show on 105.7 FM. The Fan, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Phil Brilo, 11th over there from Extra Frame. Almost called him 11thFrame.com. From Extra Frame and Dwight Albrecht, Spare Time Pro Shop in New Berlin. This man is the man that runs and operates 11thFrame.com. He is Jeff Riggles. Jeff, thanks a lot for coming on, man.
Anytime, Sparky. Happy to be here.
Okay, first, your thoughts on Fox and the way they've gone about doing their broadcasts, the commercials. I think the 10 pins down commercial where it's like he's almost in a casino or a gambler type dude, Rob Stone and stuff. I thought that commercial is really well done by the PBA Tour. Your thoughts?
I think everything about Fox is a true positive. I mean, everything from Specto to the promotions they've done, to having Rob Stone back. And I was listening earlier online here to you guys, and I agree with you 100%. Give us the ham bone. Have fun. This is entertainment.
We could find any boring dude to come in here and say four-bagger. I mean, for love of God, that was not the point of bringing him back. And if it was the point to bring Rob Stone back and tone him down and make him, you know, a 1980s bowling announcer, then this was a horrible decision. Then they shouldn't have done it. They could have got somebody a lot cheaper than Rob Stone to come in here to do that.
I agree 100%. This is all about entertainment, getting the casual fan excited. Us Corb fans are going to watch no matter what. The only way PBA grows, the only way Fox profits from this and grows the PBA is getting more casual fans, upping the excitement. Any kind of fun you can have without compromising the integrity of the competition, I'm all for, and the ham bone's part of that. If you don't like it, just ignore it.
I agree. I'm with you 100%. Good. I'm glad we're on the same page there. Okay, so let's move on. Do you like the graphics that Fox has now? We all love it, obviously, on the show with the strike tracker and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the one thing we've missed in bowling that other sports have had is a lot of that technical analytics stuff. And Specto is a thing that shows you exactly how good these guys really are, or when they fail, how bad they threw a shot. You know, that very first clash show, remember Marshall Kent almost threw a gutter ball and missed the head pin, and it was boards outside and you could see it. And Randy can use that with Rob to explain why a shot missed and show you actual physical evidence. And the thing I look forward to is I hope they have some of the Spectra on in the CP3 show so we can see some of these guys and see how different it is for non-professionals versus the professionals.
Yeah, and they should ghost overlaid with, like, Jesper's, what Jesper does versus, you know, what the NASCAR driver does on the show or whatever the case may be. Hey, you know, the other thing that I really liked about this last show was they really did the ABCs of bowling really well. As far as Rob Stone playing the guy, the casual fan, and asking Randy Peterson, you know, questions about different things of, okay, for the average person at home, what does that mean, Randy? I think they're doing a good job of that, too.
Yeah, I really like how Rob and Randy interact. I think they, and it's nothing against Dave Lamont. I really like Dave. I've met him, I talked to him. There's just a chemistry there between Rob and Randy. And I know last week's show there was a couple of weird points, but I think those two guys really do like each other. From everything I've talked to, you know, Randy over the years, he likes Rob. From everything I know, and I just love how those two interact because they're both kind of the same personality: upbeat, entertaining, funny, like to joke. And I think those two guys together really add a lot to the show. They're kind of the modern-day perfect couple where in the old boring days or whatever, more serious days, Bo Burton and Chris Schenkel might have been the right thing for bowling.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a good comparison, as long as they let Rob Stone be Rob Stone. Let Rob Stone be the entertainer. Don't, like, act like he's got to be all serious and stuff, because then it's pointless to even have Rob Stone. Okay, so details at 11thframe.com, your lead story that you put up yesterday. Details finally released on Bowlero Elite Series. Explain.
Yeah, this thing is really wild, isn't it? There's a lot of different ways to look at this, but the bottom line is we're going to have 8 Bowlero League bowlers. Some of them could be in Milwaukee, and they're going to be on this show that'll tape April.
Brylo's pointing to himself, thinking he's going to be good
enough. I'm putting a video in.
You got to make a funny video.
That's right. All you got to do is make a good
video. Yep, and then there'll be 8 pros, and I'm sure it's going to be, they haven't released him yet, but I'm sure it's going to be Belmo. I wouldn't be surprised by Kyle Troop. I heard they might have a woman or two in there. Looking forward to that. All those AMs are guaranteed $5,000. All the pros are guaranteed $10,000, and they're going to be in separate brackets, and at the end of the bracket, there's going to be a winner in the AM and a winner in the pros, and they're going to meet. First is $270,000, and second is $80,000. And if they enforce no chopping rules, that is no pooling the money and splitting it up rules somehow, you know, with written statements or whatever, written contracts, this is going to be an amazing match to watch. I mean, listen, that's bigger money than anybody's ever bowled with in the history of bowling. Mika winning the tournament champions in 2011 for 250s, the previous highest prize. So I'm planning to go down there. I just want to see this happen.
Okay, so where is this going to be at?
The finals will be Tuesday, April 2nd at Bowlero Romeoville, which is in the Chicago suburbs, southwest suburb, I believe, Romeoville, up by Bolingbrook.
And Bowlero is flipping the cost for this, or do they have a big sponsor?
No, this is all Bowlero. They're trying to turn around some of their image, it looks like, of not supporting competitive bowling. You know, they are involved with PBA, USBC to an extent, and they supposedly are going to make a much bigger push towards league bowling in the coming years, and this is sort of the start of it to show we're putting our money where our mouth is. Now, I don't see how they don't lose their tails on this.
Right.
It's so much money to put in there. I just don't see what the return on investment is, but I guess they're looking at the return on investment is getting a different image for them, and I guess they've come to religion that league bowling is okay, which wasn't how they were originally, or at least wasn't how they were perceived originally. And boy, if there was a Bowlero here in Madison, I would probably make my own funny video and try. And I hope all your listeners in Milwaukee, if you bowl league at Bowlero, you got a chance to do this. Make a funny video. You think it's till February? The date's like February 19th is the deadline.
Go ahead, Phil.
February 11th.
And you just mentioned it's not just a commitment to league bowlers that Bowlero's looking to turn around. They're doing it with tournaments as well, because they're the host of the Peterson, and they've committed a lot of resources the last couple of years to make that tournament better down in Chicago as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I've written a lot about that, lots of conversations with Mike Sleds and Jim Welch, and you got to give Bolero all the credit in the world. They've invested a lot of money to help bring the Peterson, stabilize it, and bring it back. It's paying out a lot more, and, you know, that's a huge piece of bowling history that's a lot of fun. It would be a shame if it died, and if nothing else that Bolero's ever done, I give him all the credit in the world for that. And here's another thing. So I know they've done a lot of things that have pissed a lot of people off out there, serious bowlers, but they're not 100% evil, I guess is the way to put it. They have done some very good things for competitive bowling.
I don't know about that, but that Space Invaders game looked awesome, man. I don't know where they got that Space Invaders game from. I've never seen it. I mean, I'm a big Dave and Buster's guy. They don't have that game. Sitting in a seat playing Space Invaders looked sweet as all heck to me, Jeff Riggles.
as a person who came up during the age of Space Invaders, I have to agree.
Hey, let me ask you this. So here in Milwaukee, since you brought up this whole Bolero wants to be taken more seriously, we've got a bowling revolution about to occur in this town. So you've got Round One Entertainment that's going in by Southridge. You have Whirly Ball or whatever the heck it is. That's going in Brookfield Square Mall. That's going in there. You have Punch Bowl Entertainment that's going in the live block across from the Bucks Arena down there. So those are three entertainment slash bowling facilities that are all coming in here together at the same time. That can't be good for bowling centers necessarily at the end of the day.
Well, I think most of those are very small with just a few lanes, correct?
I don't know how many lanes each one will have, to be honest with you. I'm not sure of the number.
I mean,
Round One has 10 lanes.
My perception of most of those is that they're just gathering something there, that they're a bar restaurant that's trying to offer things that differentiate them to draw people who would go to other bars and restaurants. Come here and you can bowl as well as this. Now, yes, that might hurt a little bit of the, for more of the high-end sports entertainment center bowling centers out there, but I they're not going to run leagues. They're not going to take your league bowlers,
right? But they're going to take
everything I know.
But you're going to take the open bowlers, and see that's what I'm going back to.
The
Bolero aspect of open bowling. That whole aspect with these other companies now coming in, they're pretty much saying, no, we want to take some of those open bowlers. We want the families and the kids to come by us, because then after they get done, they can do this, they can do that, they can do this. That Whirly Ball thing at Brookfield Square, that's essentially, my understanding of it, tell me if I'm wrong, is essentially bumper cars with like lacrosse sticks and a ball with hoops on either end, and you're on teams and you try to score into your hoop passing it while driving bumper cars and having a drink in the other hand. That's pretty much what that is, and that comes up from Chicago too, and that's another, you know, form of entertainment.
Yes.
So I'm just wondering, you know, if Bolero is sensing this, looking around the country, seeing some of these companies starting to pop up all over the place and going, maybe league bowling is going to be more of where we should be looking at to make more of our money, because we may start losing some of these open bowlers.
That's a great question, and one I will have to ask the next time I talk to him. It makes perfect sense, because you just see all this stuff out there. There's so much competition for that entertainment dollar, and a bowling center is the bread and butter for bowling centers. Still remains leagues for almost all of them, and I think Bolero must be seeing that.
And I'm seeing a lot at Bolero in Milwaukee. A lot of their leagues that they're coming up with, they're not 30-week leagues. These leagues are 8 weeks, 10-week, 12-week. Come in, have some fun, and they're very fun formats. Some 9-pin taps. Doubles leagues, that kind of thing.
I just want the Vegas leagues where I can go to Vegas if I win the league. That's all I care about.
Let's start one.
Give me a Vegas league, man. Those were the fun summer leagues I used to bowl in, have a chance to go to Vegas. Also, I want to mention this, be stupid not to, bowlingforgold.com. I saw that all over Twitter during the course of the week. And this is pretty much an effort to try and get bowling back in the Olympics.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to get a hold of Kevin Dornberger. They got some meetings going on, so I haven't been able to touch base with him. He's the CEO of World Bowling, and see what he thinks about how much this really might help. My perception is that this it can't hurt, but the IOC cares about TV ratings, sponsorship, fan interest, bottom line, money.
Well, Fox helps all of that.
Yeah, if you sent them 100 million names on a petition, I don't think they would care. If you showed them something that they could make the IOC better TV ratings and bring in sponsors and young demographics and make them more money, bowling would be in the Olympics tomorrow, the next one. I mean, that's what they care about, and I don't think the petitions are going to change their mind. If it's a slight, if you know, if we're on the border of getting in and they see this, maybe it helps a little bit. But the bottom line is still the things I've written about that Dornberger has communicated to me, that the ILC communicated to him, and that's the things I just mentioned. It's the bottom line. The ILC's always been about the bottom line. That's why the Dream Team came about.
So if the Fox Sports ratings go up, then that actually helps bowling prove to them that it should be an Olympic sport.
Yes, I absolutely think that, and that's one of the things we have to watch as this season goes along to see if there's any momentum. I think the really big thing you want to look at is not so much the Fox Sports 1 ratings, because they're never going to be. I mean, that's a limited audience that doesn't reach as many homes as regular Fox. It's the TV, the big shows, the majors, the important ones that are going to be on the Fox, the main network, the broadcast network that anybody can watch over the air, and it's on every system of any kind out there. What ratings do they get with those shows? Are they able to increase those as the season goes along? How do the PBA playoffs play? Look at this at the end of the season and say, okay, how did we do? And then the questions are, how do we do better next year? And then look at next year, and if things do start trending upward, that's when we say, okay, this is really paying off for PBA. If it doesn't start trending upward, then you start worrying.
Yeah, he is Jeff Riggles of 11thFrame.com. Dwight, do you have anything?
Yeah, Jeff, I do. One near and dear to your heart. Last 2 weeks in the shop, guys are asking me left and right if you know anything about the men's state tournament this year. Have you heard anything from Don Hildebrand? And I said, I know a guy coming up on Sunday that could give you all the information.
Yep, I was up there at the Hall of Fame dinner last weekend as they had the opening, and Andrew Rixman from Osceola had over 2,200 all events. Another guy had over 790 singles and just a few bowlers going through that first weekend. And I got the scoop on the lane pattern numbers from Don, and they're in my story that I wrote this week at 11thFrame.com. Basically, we're looking at the same kind of thing we've looked at every year, pretty much just essentially slightly modified house shots. A little bit longer down the lane this year, mid-40 feet distance on the AMF HPLs up there that hook quite a bit. The big news, I wrote about this last fall, Dale's Weston Lanes brought in the topography company Bowling Voodoo, leveled all the lanes up there.
Wow.
I bet you there could be some record scores this year with those
that's
lanes
awesome.
Being leveled and some soft conditions. So I think people are going to have a lot of fun if that's what you look for when you go to state.
Jeff, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it. I'm sure we'll talk to you throughout the season.
Love it. Anytime, Sparky.
You bet you take care. There he is, Jeff Riggles of 11thFrame.com and the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935. We're talking a little high school bowling coming up, but before we get into that, I have a big question about the players on the PBA Tour for Phil Brolo. I'll ask him next. Welcome back, Castle Lake Spare Time Bowling Show. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Phil Brolo, Dwight Albrecht of the Spare Time Pro Shop in New Berlin. What's going on over there?
Well, today we have City Team Classic.
Oh.
And last week we obviously had Fantasy Draft and Full House for that. And now we'll have the big boys, local big boys back for City Team Classic, which is a one-day deal. I think they're going on right now.
And you're busy, so you'll be open all day, I'm assuming?
Oh, absolutely.
All day long? How much business do you get while these guys are bowling?
We'll get a lot before the tournament starts, right. And once they get going, not much.
Not much. Then right. They kind of stay out.
Right.
And then you'll, of course, have the PBA show on, I'm assuming, the doubles.
Absolutely.
Roth and Holman. And that's what brings me to Phil Brolo of Extra Frame. I was thinking about this. I saw Holman and Roth in Oklahoma, and they took the picture or the shot of them or whatever, mm-hmm. and Roth is smiling, and Holman is smiling, saying, hey, it's Mark Roth. Okay,
yeah.
Fine. Mm-hmm. How much do you think these younger bowlers really know who some of these older bowlers are? Like the history of the sport, I guess I would put it out there as, because it seems to me like the PBA Tour really goes out of their way to continue to remember the older bowlers and keep them alive in everybody's memories and active on the bowling scene a little bit. How do these younger guys gravitate towards that?
The guys on tour, they know their history. They learn the history. They know who these guys are when they walk in the dark, that kind of thing. I think if you look at somebody, if we went to one of our local high school matches last week, the kids wouldn't have a clue, and that's where the disconnect needs to change a bit.
Right, and I'm not really concerned about the high school kids. I'm more concerned about those guys, for instance.
Yep.
So when Gary Ellerson played for the Packers back in the early 80s when Forrest Gregg was there, he always told stories about they'd come in from practice and Forrest Gregg's teammates were all sitting in the hot tub, chilling out in the practice facility. And there's Gary trying to get in an ice bath and you know, Jerry Kramer sitting in his ice bath or whatever, you know, chilling out, right? So Forrest Gregg made them kind of get to know those guys that won the championships with Vince Lombardi and everything else and really integrated both of them. It seems to me like it's kind of the same thing. Now, Jesper Svensson, he knows about Mark Roth and Marshall Holman and the history of both of those guys and the rivalry and Holman being a hothead and all of that stuff.
Yeah, everybody knows about Holman being a hothead and being the fired up guy. But when, I mean, a prime example of it, when Fox, those little interstitials that they taped, like you see the guys looking into the camera and that, they did that in Tulsa to get the guys on the PBA tour, you know, more fired up, more personality out there. Who are they bringing to talk to all the bowlers? Marshall Holman.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah. You know what I do miss? They did it in week one. I really wish they would do the intros again for these bowlers. The intro videos or whatever else they did. Especially for guys like that guy from Canada. Like, nobody knows who the hell that guy is. Gerard or whatever. I mean, nobody knows anything about that dude. He's a bald dude with glasses. Okay.
Yeah. He did Part-time guy.
Did a nice little thing after a strike and showed some emotion. Okay, good. Yeah. But average bowler has no – average fan has no idea who this dude
like
is.
A little history about
right. It doesn't have to be a 30-second video or whatever, something. I loved how they did it in week one when they did it that way. I'd love to see them continue that on. Now, I know you're pressed for time in a TV tape – in a live TV show. You have to be off the air. You can't edit and – like you can when you're taping or something like that. But yeah, so that would be nice. Sorry. Okay, so let's go ahead.
Well, I totally agree with Phil. They gave Holman and Roth a standing ovation. All the fans stood up in the crowd.
That's awesome.
Young and old.
Yep.
Okay, so I think there's a tremendous amount of respect for Roth and Holman from not only the fans, young and old, but also the players too. I totally agree with Phil about like the kids today, when I was that kid back in the 60s and 70s, we absolutely idolized our Hall of Famers.
Right.
The old guys, if you want to call it that. We knew that they paved that path for the next grouping of pros.
I think it's good for a sport to be able to still connect to its history.
Absolutely.
And make the people that are in that sport now understand the history. And I think they've done a really nice job doing that on the PBA tour. All right, high school bowling. I know Phil has been out and traveling and so forth, but a little primer on high school bowling.
Well, we had our high school mixed doubles championship out in Madison, and we had our midwinter down at Castellanes and Racine right between the holidays. And I'll tell you what, it's interesting to see how high school bowling's changed over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the talent pool is starting to shrink a little bit. There's some still quality players out there, but for some reason, and you guys mentioned last week talking about the Oak Creek High School program.
Yes.
Getting the numbers out there. I think it's going to be getting tougher and tougher to get the numbers out there for a lot of these high schools. I don't know. Is there a magic formula to turn that around? Right. I don't know, but I'm looking at, you know, some of the districts where there used to be, you know, 8, 9, 10 girls teams out there, and now there's 6 or 7.
I touched on that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. And it's kind of scary. You know, Gary Beck, as much as
any reasons why, Phil?
Well, Gary Beck, as much as you either love the guy or hate the guy, he had a thing a few years out talking about how there was just going to be no youth bowling by 2022. And some of his numbers have been kind of right on, where it's just the distractions and everything else going on. The equipment needed to be competitive at the game holds some people back as well. And there's all kinds of factors on why it's happening. What's it going to take to turn around? I don't know, but whether it takes the helps of ADs at schools, or which they don't really have.
Hold on.
Okay.
Look, this isn't that difficult to understand. I'll make this real nice and simple for you, okay? So when I was growing up, my dad bowled in league. Yep. So he put me and my brother in league on Saturday mornings because he bowled. So we bowled in league, okay? Let's go to my brother now. My brother has his kid. He put his kid in league. He was all excited. Oh, got him a bowling ball, got him a bowling bag, all excited. Bowled a year and said, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm not interested. This is boring. Out. So now he's playing lacrosse. I mean, that to me, that's kind of what it was. You had parents that bowled in league. My mom bowled in league too. They bowled in league, and then they made their kids bowl in league. And I would go to league with my dad when he used to bowl and sit there and watch my dad and his buddies bowl or whatever else. My mom would take us down there and we'd watch my dad bowl. Not all the time, but once in a while we'd go down there and watch. And it was awesome. He's like, dude, I want to do what my dad does, right? That's kind of the deal. And now I think you've lost that. And then the younger generation on the 20s and the 30s that are having kids as well, you lost them along the way coming up. So you lost those guys that were Bowling League coming up. Those are the guys that you lost. And now when they have kids, bowling isn't a big deal because they didn't bowl league.
Yep. I fully agree with you there. That's exactly what it is. I look at, you know, all the kids that I used to see when I first started doing the tournaments on Time Warner Sports. That was a dozen years ago. I look at the number of kids that still bowl out there. It might be 1 in 10.
Sure.
Might be.
Yep.
You look at the average league we walk in now. We walk in our league nights. I'm 52. I'm one of the younger guys in my league.
Yes.
Yep. And, you know, like Sparky said, people in their mid-30s now that fell off in the 90s and stopped bowling now, 20 teens, and their kids are 10, 11, 12 years old. They're not picking it up.
But how this has to work to a degree is the open bowling, these kids open bowl, there's got to be some way to try and flip that. Or like Oak Creek did, where they have this open house.
Yes.
For the ninth graders.
Yep. Yep.
And you have all these teams and clubs all set up around, right?
Yep.
All kinds of whatever it may be. Could be student-driven clubs, could be club teams, could be letter teams, whatever. They all have representatives. And then the kids just go around and sign up on whatever's interests them.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened to Oak Creek. They just had a sheet out. They had their coaches standing there. And they had probably a bunch of first-time people that have never bowled before sign up for it.
I think if you're a proprietor of bowling alley and you see a youth come in with their parents and start doing some bowling, I would be going down to every one of those kids with a flyer saying, hey, if you're interested, we have a junior league on Saturday mornings here.
I'll tell you what else I would do. I would offer a team discount. Like, if you and your buddies want to bowl together on a three-man team or whatever the teams are now in youth bowling, if you want to bowl on a three-man team, if you all three of you sign up at the same time, we'll discount you, whatever the case may be. Versus a single signing up, if you bring a whole team over here, we'll discount the team. All right, we got to take a quick timeout. Back after this, we'll preview today's PBA show next here on the Castle Lane Spare Time Bowling Show. Castle Lane Spare Time Bowling Show here on The Fan. All right, time to wrap it up. Coming up today, once again, the Rolf Holman PBA Doubles Championship on FS1. Make sure to check that out. All right, Phil Brilo, who you like?
I'm gonna withdraw because I know what happens. And
wait, no.
Actually, I would take the top seeds this week.
Top seeds. Well, fine, then I'll do the same thing. I'm with you. Go ahead.
I'm the same as Phil, unfortunately, with social media. I kind of read something
You know, Riggles put out the spoiler alert on Twitter. Hey, if you want to know what happens, here you go.
Right.
Who wants to know before you watch it?
Right. Still want to see the show.
Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.